Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. Well, as we've gathered here today, it's the 28th day of December, 2014. And in just a few more days, the year 2014 will pass into the annals of history, never to occur again. You know, you see these things on the internet sometime. You've got a date that's like January 1st, 01, you know, and this date will not appear again for 100 years. But the year 2014 will never appear again. There never will be another 2014. We've had some good times in 2014. Some have had some bad times. Some people have had sickness and health problems. Some have lost loved ones. And some have had financial problems. We get email requests sometimes to pray for people that are having financial problems and have need of financial assistance because they're running into problems. And we sympathize with those that have lost loved ones. And around our community here, especially in the Spring Hill area where I live, the community has been very much involved in sharing with the loss of a young lady that was killed in a tragic traffic accident about 2 weeks ago now, or she died as a result of it. They're concerned about the young man that was also injured and has been in a coma all this time. But people go through problems. It's part of the life that we live and the things that we need to go through. Yet in some parts of the world, hundreds of Christians, many young children, have lost their lives simply because they love Jesus. We've probably all heard on the news just several days ago of the school that was attacked, and I forget which country it was in. Over 100 people were killed, majority of them being children. I received a report yesterday, and some of the others may subscribe to some of the same news feeds that I do, from Shabbat.com. And it talked about ISIS as taking young Christian children. But not only young Christian children, but Shiites, people who are supposedly of their own faith, tearing open their bodies as they're still breathing, tear out their organs and bringing them into Turkey and into Saudi Arabia. According to one report, the body parts aren't just harvested from soldiers killed in combat, but from living, breathing hostages, including children abducted from the Shiite, Muslim, or Christian populations in Iraq and Syria. Casey, could you pause a minute, please? We're living in a demonic world where slaves of Satan run rampant over whatever they can. The Apostle Paul wrote to a young Gentile pastor by the name of Titus. You've all heard of Titus simply because there's a book called Titus in the New Testament. And what he wrote not only applied to the people in church of AD 64, but to the world of today. And in Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, he wrote this: "Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now, he's writing to a group back then, but a lot of things that are written to a specific group, even in the New Testament time, or even in the Old Testament time, can apply to today. And we're living in a world where there are groups of people who claim to know God, or a God, and yet their life is as reprobate as one could possibly imagine, as one could possibly think of. Doing every evil thing that we can possibly imagine. And we're not only talking about some of the atrocities that are going on in other parts of the world, but some of the atrocities that are taking place in our own nation. Some of the things that happen. People that murder their own young children. People that do hideous acts of violence. And it's becoming somewhat commonplace, as we tend to hear about it on the news on a consistent and regular basis. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah, whose ministry was approximately 740 to 680 BC. And in the first 39 chapters of the book that he wrote, the book of Isaiah, leading up to the captivity, which were written around 700 BC, and the remaining chapters in the latter part of his ministry. And Isaiah, just to fill you in a little bit, his name means salvation of Jehovah. And he is primarily, or preeminently, the prophet of redemption. But I want to call your attention to what he writes in chapter 43. And we want to start with verse 10 through 12. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God. Was no God. Formed, neither shall there be after me. So there was no God formed before me. No God will come after me. This is what Isaiah is writing here about Jehovah God. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. And just kind of jumping ahead a couple of chapters in Isaiah chapter 53, then he begins to talk about the Savior, the Redeemer that is to come. This prophesying of Jesus that is to be born in Bethlehem several hundred years down the road as he's talking here. He goes on to say, I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witness, saith the Lord, that I am God. He is telling this group of people, look, you've seen the things that I have done. I have proved to you, I have showed to you that I am God. Think of all the things that God did for this group of people. Deliver them out of Egypt's bondage. Kept them for 40 years in a wilderness. When they got in trouble, sometimes got them out of trouble. Sometimes they got themselves into trouble. And they got punished a little bit, you know. But he took care of them. And as this writing is taking place, they're getting ready to get back into some problems again here. But God's letting them know, you know what? I am God. I will take care of you. In chapter 43, verse 14, or 15 rather, he goes on to say, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Think about this. God is speaking to his people through this prophet by the name of Isaiah, saying, I am your King. And he's still saying to us today, who are believers in Jesus Christ, who are followers in Yeshua Messiah, I am your King. I am your God. But so many people out there, they just can't catch the message there. I was just reading in the news today of a former pastor who decided to take a year off and keep God out of his life for a year. At the end of the year, he decided, well, there is no God. Well, the devil can convince you of a lot of things. He can convince you you're living right when you're not living right sometimes. He can convince you you're doing what you're supposed to do when you're not doing what you're supposed to do, if you let him. But God still is saying, I'll take care of you if you'll let me. Then he goes on to write in verse 19, Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. 400 years roughly before the birth of Christ, Isaiah is writing, there is going to be a Savior coming. There's a Messiah coming. God is going to do a new thing. And God still does some new things today. We look around and say, well, everything's been done that can be done. You know, I remember, and I can't remember the exact date on this, and maybe someone out there does, but there was a time in just secular history where they decided that everything had been invented that could possibly be invented. And a great portion of what we have today had not yet been invented. God is still in the miracle business. God is still in the business of doing some new things. You see, as God was speaking to there, he was speaking to them about the process of redemption that was going to take place. He was going to send a Savior. That Savior was going to be born. He was going to grow into adulthood. He was going to then minister. He was then going to give his life on the cross of Calvary for the redemption of our sin. They were then looking forward to what Jesus was going to do on the cross. We now look back and we know what Jesus has done on the cross, and we can accept the work that he did for us. You see, in the process of redemption, there are steps that have to take place. It's just like, you know, thinking about this, been all the shopping for Christmas, you know, all the Black Friday sales that took place on the day after Thanksgiving, and it seemed like every day there was some kind of a name for that day and some kind of sale was going on that was related to that day. And then you got this day where everybody takes everything back that they bought the day before, you know, and I understand a lot of stores were packed on Friday after Christmas because all the stuff they got for Christmas that they didn't like or didn't want or didn't fit or whatever, they took it back. Just about as busy a day as the day before Christmas was. But a lot of things as you're doing through this process, a lot of things that people like to do today is they like to give gift cards. And a gift card is just a card. Some of you probably got some. I got one from McDonald's. And that card is in my wallet. And that card could sit in my wallet for the next 50 years. And it's not going to do me a lick of good. That card will never do me any good unless I take it out of my wallet, walk into a McDonald's somewhere, walk up to the register, place an order, and hand them my card or slide it through the machine. And then all of a sudden, I'm redeeming some of the value of that card. Redemption can be made available, but we have to participate in it as well. We have to accept what has been made available to us to redeem and actually do something about it. We see, we celebrate as Christmas time of God sending His Son, the birth of Jesus. And we have a big celebration about it. And a lot of people who are not Christians, people who don't set foot inside a church, maybe one or two times a year, Christmas and Easter, they know what the celebration is supposed to be about, but they have gone to the secular side. Some of you that were Star Trek fans back many years ago, not Star Trek, but Star Wars, had on there the various forces. One character went over to the dark side. And of course, the other characters were on, I guess, the good side or the light side. I don't remember what they called that part, but there was the dark side. So there are people out there today, they know what the good side is all about, but they choose to live on the opposite side. Yeah, I know that this is about Jesus being born and all that stuff. I'll get around to it maybe someday, you know. I think maybe just about, give me 30 seconds before I die. I think I can say a sinner's prayer in that length of time. Guess what? You may never get that 30 seconds. It may hit you so fast you didn't know what hit you. We look at it. We know that redemption is out there. It's available. God made it available to us. He sent His Son. But have we taken advantage of the redemption process? Not only, you know, when you get a gift card, the person who gave me my gift card didn't just walk into McDonald's and say, hey, give me one of those shiny plastic cards there. I want to give it to somebody. And they're going to come in here and get a McDouble and a Dr. Pepper, you know, and use this card. They said, sure, we'll give you this card, but you've got to give us something in return. However much the value of that card is. And so they had to pay a price for it. God made redemption available to us, but yet there was a price to be paid. And Jesus paid the price when He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. He paid the penalty for our sin. Some people living in the world, I guess we could use that term, are just dirty, rotten scoundrels. And some people, or as people like to say, the salt of the earth, the pillar of the community, as my grandson's great-grandmother used to say about him, the little angel that could do no wrong. Didn't matter, he just knocked her down on the street, he could do no wrong. And we look at people like that. Yet we all have to take advantage of that redemption that God made available to us, or it doesn't work for us. You can have two people standing side by side and one take advantage of redemption and the other not take advantage of redemption. And guess which one's going to heaven? The one that took advantage. And I don't care what you like to say at their funeral or what you like to say at various places. Unless you have taken advantage of redemption, you are lost. So God made redemption available for us. He paid the price by sending His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. But it's up to us then to redeem that. He's made it available for us. It's up to us to say, cash it in. You sent Jesus to die on the cross. I'm going to take advantage of that offer. I'm going to accept Him as my personal Savior. I'm going to invite Him into my heart. I'm going to live for Him. Because I want the blessings that God has for me. Most people in America, and quite a few in other countries as well, know what the Bible has to say. We live in an age of technology where people are informed of stuff that 20 years ago they knew nothing about. So they have knowledge that they didn't have. And we know what the Word of God has to say. But we can choose to accept it, or we can choose to reject it. You see, God left the choice up to us. It's just like those Christmas presents you got under the tree. You can choose to accept them, or you can choose to reject them. If you choose to reject them, you can go a couple of things. You can, you know, shove them in the closet and pretend they didn't exist. And 50 years from now, oh, look what we found in the closet here, you know. But if you choose to accept it, you take it and you begin to use it. And, you know, do whatever you do with the particular item that you got. And I know there's sometimes, you know, I got scared to death Christmas Day because Mary and I got a joint Christmas present. And we were told we had to go to this place or that place to find it. And the next day I said, please don't let it be a puppy. Please don't let it be a puppy. Thank goodness it wasn't a puppy. But you know what? God sent us the best gift mankind could ever receive. Redemption through His Son, Jesus Christ. Salvation. The price has been paid. All we've got to do now is cash in and take advantage of it. He goes on. Jesus speaking these words in John chapter 14, verses 2 through 3. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus is saying, okay, the work is done now. Price has been paid. All you got to do is accept it. I'm going to go now and prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come and get you. And I know some people say, okay, yeah, Jesus said that. Let's see. 1,900, depending on which calendar you go by and how you count this or that, and you know. And I know when you get to messing with calendars, you can move dates all over the place. But approximately 2,000 years ago, Jesus said that, I'm going to prepare a place. What happened, Jesus? You haven't come back yet.
You're still making it.
But that doesn't change the fact that He's coming. He's coming. For some, He will come sooner than they expect. For some, and I'm a firm believer, that it's very possible, most likely, that some people sitting in this auditorium today will still be alive when the rapture takes place. He's coming. So whether we go by the way of death or we go through the rapture, He is coming to take us to that place that He has prepared for us. And we have then laid out to our advantage all the blessings that God said He was going to bestow upon us as His children because He loves His children. Going back to Christmas again, those that have kids, you work hard, you save your money, try to anyway. You go out and you spend a lot of money at Christmas time because you want to buy the gifts that your kids want. It doesn't matter that that little toy that's about the size of your fist now costs $500, but you're going to do your best to get that for your kid because that's what they want. Except for Larry.
$500.
And but we do things for our kids because we love them. We We want to do the best for them. Then one day, you get a little bit older and you become a grandparent. Now you're doing it not only for your kids because you love them. You still love your kids, but now you've got those grandkids. And you know, if I'd have known grandkids was such a great thing, I'd have had them first. I heard one person say that. He never had any grandkids or kids. But it's another story. But, you know, some of you, that's the way it is. Man, you get those grandkids, and you think, man, that's the best thing that ever happened. Grandkids. Better than kids is grandkids.
Great-grandkids.
And so some comes along great-grandkids, and I know it just keeps getting deeper and deeper there. But you will do whatever you can for them because you love them. But God's still even better than that. He loves us with a love that's unfailing. Because you see, sometimes we fail in our love. We really do. I don't care how much you try to love. There are times that we fail in our love. Our love is not always perfect. Our love has its problems sometimes. But God's love is unfailing. It's unending. There's nothing tops it. We prepare to go into a new year. Year 2015. 15 years ago, it was the Y2K thing, and we thought everything was coming to an end. There were going to be massive power grid failures. Clocks weren't going to work. Computers were going to crash. Airplanes were going to fall out of the sky. And I still remember, and I think it was my oldest daughter, Melody, called us from California right about midnight, wanting to know how everything was, because they were two-hour time different. I mean, they've had none of this catastrophe there because it's not been midnight yet. Television is blaring in the background, and just to have some little fun, I say, well, everything's terrible. The lights have gone out. The TV's gone off. And I start going through this list of stuff. And yet all the time, all the background tells me that this is not what's happening, you know. But that's the way people were. We don't know what's going to take place in 2015. A survey was done just in the past week, I guess, or so, and they asked people if they expected greater things in 2015. By a slight majority, people decided or said that they thought things would be better. And 2015. I have to say, I'm probably not in that group, because I'm not necessarily looking for a lot of things in the world to get better. But I am looking for one thing, and that's for Jesus to come. I'm looking for what God has promised me. He says He's got that place prepared for me, and He's going to come and get me. And you know what? I don't care which way He comes to get me. Whether it's through the grave or whether it's through the rapture, He can come get me either way He wants to. Just come get me. That's the important thing. I want Him to come and get me. I want to be ready for Him to come and get me. Now you say, well, does it mean, are you saying you want Him to take you right now? No, I'm not saying that. You know, they talk about everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody's in a hurry to get there, you know. That's true. You know, we talk about it, but none of us are really in a hurry to get there, you know. But God, I want to be ready. That's what I'm trying to say here. I want to be ready. For whichever way you choose, I want to be ready. I don't want to miss out on what you prepared for me. Sometimes we have big Christmases here and we have lavish gifts and we have stuff like that. And I know probably none of us sat around a Christmas tree and got a key to a brand new Mercedes and a yacht or a condo in the Swiss Alps or someplace like that. But God's got something even better for us anyway. All the wonders that He has. Price for all of it's been paid. All we have to do is accept it. And we accept it by giving our heart and our life to Him. Not just saying, I believe in God, A lot of people believe it. The devil believes in God. He's a strong believer in God. But we've got to believe that Jesus is God's Son. He was born of a virgin. He died on a cross that our sins could be forgiven. And that His shed blood was the payment for our sins. And when we accept it and let His price that He paid cover our sins, we will be saved. Now, one thing I want to point out is when you get saved, then don't go out there and get a lot of dirty stuff put back in there. Some people do. You don't want to do that. Father, I pray right now that as I've done my best to deliver the word that You've given me, I pray, Father, it would reach out to hearts and lives today. That it would touch people, Father, wherever they may hear this message. And Father, as we look towards the next year, Father, there's a new day coming. Father, it's a day that we don't know what's going to happen. But Father, I'm excited about the new day that You're going to have for us. I don't know when it's going to be, but I'm excited about it. Because it's more than my mind, more than my brain can comprehend what You have for me. And all that love You. I thank You for it. And I ask, Father, if there's any listening to my voice today that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they have never made that commitment. I ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart and draw them, Father, to repentance, I pray. I thank You for it now. We've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us. Or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.